around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's our joy, and we thank you for allowing us to come into your heart, your life, your home, your place of business. Maybe you're working outside, or maybe you're jogging or riding a bicycle, or maybe you're just sitting in the quietness of your bedroom or your kitchen today and listening to this program, this podcast, however that you might be receiving it. We thank you for blessing us, allowing us to be a part of your life. We are profusely humbled by God's goodness, by God's grace, for the way he uses us to touch so many people's hearts and lives. Every week, we get letters, emails, phone calls from people who are being delivered from alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, everything that you can imagine. I just spoke with a gentleman just the other day who just came off a 15-day fast. I thank God. Our pursuant of seeking the face of God collectively touches people's hearts and lives and challenges them to a greater walk in God. I'm just a messenger. I'm just the paper boy. I just bring you the good news. And I also bring news that sometimes people don't care to embrace, especially when they're living in sin. But as we witness people coming out of the harlot church, coming out of sin, separating themselves from this world and the cares of this life, we are touched, we are humbled that God would somehow use us, these poor earthen clay jars, these cracked pots, he would use us to touch hearts and lives. And for that, we're very humbled, and for that, we're very grateful. And we thank you for your prayers for us and praying for us that the ministry of Christ might continue to go forth unimpeded. You know, Satan likes to impede everything that he can. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, we go forward without being impeded. And so we thank God for that. And we rejoice that the power of the Spirit of God has the power to knock down those elements that try to impede what God is trying to accomplish in the hearts and lives of people. I want to play a beautiful song today, one that most of you would know. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. And that, my friend, is the place, Golgotha, where Jesus Christ was crucified. The place of the skull. It's a heinous place. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. There's an old bus depot there at the place called the skull, seemingly having no significance, but the truth and reality, it bears unfathomable significance. Why? Because it was at Calvary where Jesus paid the price for your sins and for my sins and the sins of the whole world. I still believe in that old rugged cross where Jesus Christ was crucified. The Bible says in John 19:34, the Roman soldier took a spear. He pierced his left side. Forthwith came out blood and water, signifying the humanity of Jesus the Lord Christ. And he has given me a new life. He's given you a new life. Newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, I'm so glad today there's a place called Calvary. Many people believe it was Mount Moriah, the place where Abraham took Isaac in Genesis chapter 22 to crucify, or should say, offer his son as a sacrifice. But God made provision. There was a ram caught in the thicket, substitutionary for Isaac's life. Jesus Christ was the Passover, Paschal Lamb for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of this whole world. We've been teaching now for several weeks from Isaiah chapter 1. This is a profound, different teaching relative to Romans chapter 8. We taught from Romans chapter 8 for several months. Romans 8, 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now we're looking at sin and judgment. Sin and judgment. Yesterday we spoke from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21. How is the faithful city become a harlot, become a whore? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers. Now I know looking at this verse is somewhat superficial. Or if you look at it in a superficial disposition, it doesn't seemingly say a whole lot. But from being a faithful city to a whore, a loss of judgment, righteousness no longer reigns and rules, but now murderers. Murderers. You know, I'm going to say something here that may be very strong and blunt and crass, but I loathe Hillary Rodham Clinton when she takes Bible scriptures. What a hypocrite. What a plastic, hypocritical person. About the debacle down at the border with these families trying to cross illegally with the children. And she said, suffer to bring the little children unto me. That's right, Hillary. Bring them right to the breaking of the womb and take scissors and plunge it in the back of their skulls and suck out their brains and then abort the child and lay it on the table. And you want to use Bible and say this is unjust, this is unkind, this is ruthless treatment of living children? You're a murderer. You believe in abortion. What hypocrisy. Elijah Cummings. America's better than this. You're a murderer, Elijah Cummings. You're for abortion, for killing children. This is the deception, the duplicity, the error that is in America today. And I'm telling you, more and more people are becoming blinded by the day. They cannot discern their left hand from their right hand, and they're following those who are going to lead them to a devil's hell. I am totally astounded. I am numb at the deception, the duplicity, the hypocrisy in saying Oh, bring the little children to me. Why, so you can murder them in their mother's womb? This is why God is going to judge America. Let me say this, and this will even make more people mad. When you vote for those politicians, you're voting for sodomy and murder. Let's say you stand before God on the day of judgment and say, God, I cast my lot with murderers. I cast my lot with sodomites. But God, I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of God. I want to enter into the eternal kingdom of God. Let's see how that flies in the face of God. Let's see how that flies in the face of God. It won't. It cannot, it will not, it shall not. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Look at the wickedness of America. Look at the FBI. Every top official has filth and dirt and sin on their hands. From Comey to McCabe, Strzok, Page. There's a litany of names, many we've never even heard of and never will hear of, but they're there and they're corrupt. Higher morality, according to Comey? He has no morality. Admittedly, we know his wife voted for Hillary. How has the faithful city become a whore? How is this? How is it all these die-hard, bleeding, liberal-hearted, insane, deprived leaders talk about the conditions at the border, but they spend hundreds of millions of dollars to murder babies every year? How do you do that? You're a hypocrite. You see, the reason that's all they talk about, they're hoping they're going to hit a vein, a chord, and it bears witness with the American people. So they're throwing darts at the wall, hoping they will hit something that will take hold and you'll turn from your conservative values to your liberal values. How is this? How has the faithful city become a whore? Because we've lost the standard, which is God's righteousness. The benchmark is God's word. The standard is God's word. Righteousness is what God demands. Yet, judgment, equity, all of these things are cast out into the street, and they're trodden under the feet of men. And people don't seem to care what's taking place. They just don't seem to care. Isaiah 59, verses 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs, and they weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs cannot become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as far for our iniquities, we know them in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and the helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. You don't play with God. You don't toy with God. You don't mock God. God's going to stand up. He said these people are transgressing, they're lying against the Lord, and they're departing from God, and they speak oppression and revolt, and they conceive and utter from the heart words of falsehood. They are absolute liars. They utter nothing but lies. This is how the faithful city has become a whore and a harlot. It once was full of judgment. Oh, now today you can't get judgment, you can't get justice. Can we just settle out of court? God demands justice. God demands judgment. A false balance, Solomon said, is an abomination in the eyes of God. This is where we are in America today. Everything in Israel had deteriorated at the time of Isaiah writing this. Everything had completely and utterly and totally deteriorated. The city had become a whore. It was once full of judgment, once full of righteousness, but now nothing but murderers. Thy silver is become dross. Thy wine mixed with water. Dross. What is dross? Some of you guys that weld understand slag. After you run your bead, you take a welder's hammer and you go back and you knock off the slag or the refuse left after the melting. It's called scoria, cindery, C-I-N-D-E-R-Y, cindery, scoria, S-C-O-R-I-A. Let me take it a step further. It's nothing but scum. When God uses this term in Isaiah 1 and 22, thy silver's become dross, thy wine mixed with water, he is simply telling them, you have apostatized, you have backslid, because you're to the point, you will lie about the wine. You mix it with water. You lie about every. You're so dishonest, you can't open your mouth without some type of distortion. You can't say one sentence without invoking some kind of lie in it. Therefore, it's nothing but slag, nothing but refuse, nothing but cindery, Nothing but scoria. Nothing but scum. I know this is hard. I know this is hard. Not palatable. But when you read God's word, when you immerse yourself in God's word, the Holy Ghost will illuminate your eyes and let you see in the natural what God sees in the spirit. This is why Ephesians 1, 17, 18, and 19 is so important. You know, we got preachers in the pulpit, but they can't see. Ephesians 1 and 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. For the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Your eyes of understanding. You can see by the word, by the Holy Ghost, what God is trying to say. We're in a very dangerous, dangerous state right now. Apostasy is flourishing. Oh, as I said yesterday, the tide of prosperity lifts everyone's boat up. Whether you're a sinner, whether you're a saint, you're going to be blessed financially. But it's not on the sinner's part, it's on the righteousness of God's people. You see, that's why we're the salt. We are the light. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and mine ears attent unto the prayers that are made in this place. You see, when the righteous begin to cry out to God, God begins to move. I will never forget the day of the election. I will never forget it. Why? Because I went to my office and I prostrated myself. I fell on my face before God and I begged God. I pled with God. I interceded. I cried out to God, please do not let this wicked woman rule over us. And I didn't pray 5 minutes. I didn't pray a little courtesy prayer and got up. I pled with God for quite some time. Pleading with God, I beseech you, Lord, I beseech your throne by Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Do not allow this wicked woman to rule over us. That's the significance of we becoming the true salt and light in the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, it is good for nothing, but rather to be cast out into the streets and to be trodden under the feet of men. You've heard me use this before. If the salt has lost its savor, the word savor there is moros. We get the word moron. You're moronic when you lose the saltiness of redemption, of salvation in your heart and in your life. And regretfully, we have seen a plethora of that. Regretfully, we have witnessed so much of that. And when you lose your savor, you become a moron. That's right. Look it up in your Strong Exhaustive Concordance. It means stupid. You become silly. You become foolish. If you don't believe me, it's 3471 in your Strong Exhaustive Concordance. But if the salt has lost his savor, you know, I look at that word savor, S-A-V-O-R, that's your savior. Your saltiness comes from Christ. Salt is to preserve. That's why we have very little left in America, because the preserving power has been diminished because of sin in the lives of the professing Christians. Christian, you are to be different. You are to be different. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Tell me the difference in a drunken Christian and a sinner Christian. What's the difference? They're both drunk. Is drunkenness a sin? Yes, it is. So what's the difference between the sinner drunkard and the Christian drunkard? There is none. You see, we are so apt to justify our wicked deeds. This is how you apostatize. This is how you ultimately depart from the faith. You're believing a lie. You're believing an untruth. You're believing something that is nothing but a fallacy, a fallacious mendacity. That's when you fall into error. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. You have polluted even the wine. A guy can't even come into a tavern and get a pure flask or a wine skin, bottle of wine. Can't do it, he said. You've mixed it with water. You've polluted everything. And what's the reason behind that? To make the wine go further. Watered down wine is cheating. It's cheating. How many people cheat in life and they have no significance, witness in their conscience that what they're doing is wrong? I cannot tell you the times I have gone and corrected things. You see, there are things in my life before I was saved in 1978, or I should say come back to the Lord. I can't go back and fix some of that wreckage, some of that carnage. I can't fix it. As a Christian, number one, I try to put myself, my life, in a place where I'll not be compromised. Number two, if something goes awry, if something goes wrong, it's my responsibility to make it right. Whether it's to apologize to somebody or to pay for something that I mistakenly took, whatever the case might be, my conscience demands I do the right thing. You've heard me tell the story how me and my boys stopped one day. We picked up 10 bags of Sacrete. I told Wesley, get 8 bags. He got 10. We got to the house. I looked at the back of the truck. I said, hey, there's 10 bags here. I said, I told you to get 8. He said, I thought you said 10. So we go back by Lowe's. And I walk in there and I tell the guy I have to pay for 2 bags of Sacrete that my son accidentally took. And the guy looked at me. The manager of that department turned and looked at me and said, you mean to tell me you came by here to pay for $2, $3 and some change per bag for Sacrete? You came back to pay for that? I said, yes, sir. He said, my God, I can't believe that. He said, I wish more people were like that. Hey, I can fix it. So I fixed it. You say, now, preacher, God is not that stringent. He may not be, but I am. You see, I put those demands on my life. See, anybody can be average. I want to be a good, blood-bought, born-again child of God. I want my testimony to emanate from my deeds. You don't have to say anything to a man. I never witnessed to that man about being a Christian, but I did witness to him about doing the right thing. You see, we never know how God may use us. He may use us. We never know how righteousness, doing the right thing, will affect somebody's life. We never know. Verse 23, Isaiah 1 and 23, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Whoa. Does that not sound just like the FBI today? Does that not sound just like our political leaders in America, thy princes are rebellious. The IG report from Horwitz says there's nothing but insubordination here. Insubordination, insubordinate, rebellious. Your leaders are rebellious. Not only are your leaders rebellious, he said they are companions of those that are thieves. Whoa. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how that those involved in the Clinton investigation became also a part of the Mueller investigation? Let's get this right. Isaiah 1, verse 23. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Our rulers are rebellious. They partner with thieves. Everyone loveth gifts. Now it's been reported that different news outlets were giving FBI agents tickets to golf outings, to trips, different things. So the princes are rebellious. They're companions of those who are thieves. And they all love gifts and followeth after rewards. You give them a reward, you give them a dog biscuit, and they'll leak pertinent information. I've never seen the Word of God so accurate. As I grow older, and I just mentioned about seeing things through the Word of God, through the Holy Ghost. When you see things through the Word, when you filter what's taking place through the Word of God, you see it clear as day. This verse here in Isaiah 1, verse 23, this whole chapter is. But some of this is so relevant. Some of this is so pertinent. Some of this is so accurate. How has the faithful city become a whore? Your leaders are rebellious. They're companion of those who are thieves. And everyone loveth gifts. And they follow after rewards. They're bribed. Every day they accept bribes and cut deals for evil rewards. Evil men covet. Evil men lust exceedingly. That's what evil men do. That's what evil leaders do. What's in it for me? This is why it is so imperative. This is why it is so important to pray for Donald Trump, because you see, the devil would love to get him compromised in some capacity. Proverbs 28, verse 22. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. All of these FBI agents being fired, just like McCabe, wants that pension. You live in sin, poverty shall come upon you in some capacity. You can have poverty in your convictions. You can have poverty in your housing. You can have poverty in your food, your ability to acquire good meals. You can have poverty. You can acquire poverty by your mere lifestyle. And I'm telling you, folks, this nation has become very evil. And you better not take for granted this parenthetical time of redemption, this parenthetical time of a reprieve. This will not last long. Why do you say that, preacher? Why do you keep saying that? Because I don't see repentance. I don't hear preachers preaching repentance. I don't see it. I don't hear it. My God, the most righteous man needs to repent. You remember the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 7 and 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but not all are repenting. They're not repenting. They're not turning. They're not forsaking. Something is wrong when men who declare emphatically, I'm called to be a preacher. God has ordained me to be a preacher. And there are those who are self-appointed. There are those who are self-anointed. God never called them. They did that of their own volition. They did that of their own will. Thy princes are rebellious. Thy leaders are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth bribes and gifts and followeth after rewards or bribes. Evil men, they covet, they lust exceedingly. They forsake the orphans and the needs of the widow. The needs of the orphans, the needs of the widows is far from their minds. Now, I see the hypocrisy of all of these liberal Democrats concerning the border. You see, they don't want a border wall. They want all these people coming in and ultimately voting for them. Someone was pontificating last week, I don't remember exactly who it was, but said if the Trump won the election in 2020, the Democratic Party was over with. I don't remember who it was. I'm sure some of you listening remember exactly who it was. It's a disgrace when men and women partner with thieves, when they can be bribed and followeth after rewards. Did you know bribes skew a man's judgment? A bribe messes up men. Men are bought off. They cannot see their error. They cannot see where they are erring. See? And I know that for the most part, they take the bribe and they say, well, this is not really going to hurt anybody. This is no big deal. I mean, it's just a one-time deal. But what they failed to understand, what if everyone took that disposition? What if everyone took that mindset and embraced that mindset? See, when you take a bribe into your bosom, it skews your judgment. That's what it means to be bought off. To be bought off. And this is what we witness in America on a continual basis. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? That cannot be the mindset. That's the mindset of people. Judgment. Why is it seemingly that simple people like you and I can see a circumstance, look at a situation, and we can immediately say, that's wrong, that's not right. But yet these other so-called attorneys of law who have Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Science, Masters, Doctorates, PhDs, they look at it, and they don't seem to see what you and I see. Proverbs 30, verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Filthiness. Do you think being rebellious, a companion of thieves, loving bribery, following after rewards, do you suppose those are ungodly, unrighteous acts? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And they don't care about people. They don't care about the state, the general state of a nation, a country. Bigoted, self-righteous. Nancy Pelosi says there's a spark of divinity in every person, every child. Why do you kill them then, Nancy? Why do you murder them in the mother's womb? Why do you do that? Where's that spark of divinity in that child in that mother's womb? Oh, that doesn't fit your narrative. That doesn't fit your narrative. You see, that's the problem with the leadership in America. They wet their finger, stick it up in the wind to see which way the wind is blowing. And so they say, and then we have these hypocrites who say, I just came down from the border and I saw them separating these children from their parents. Why don't you go down to an abortion clinic, sir or ma'am, and watch them kill a baby in its mother's womb? And then come back and talk to me with sound common sense. Go watch that for a day. Watch that murdering of innocent blood over and over and over, day after day, and then come back and give me your report, sir. Most people don't understand what's taking place in the context of we have Donald Trump, we have Hillary Clinton. You have a picture of right, you have a picture of wrong. You have a man who says, I'm going to oppose abortion. I've changed my stance. I believe that's a real human being. Hillary says, I'm all for women's health care. I'm all for it. Keep murdering them. Go ahead, keep murdering them. I will help you murder them. I will see that you're funded to murder them. I will see that your doors stay open to fund murder. I will make sure that you can continue to murder. The city is now filled with murderers, or the faithful city, Jerusalem, has become a harlot, become a whore. Now it's full of murderers. How is it that taking that infant child in that mother's womb is not murder? How is that? Somebody explain that to me. How is that? You see, the truth is, it is murder. When I hear people justify abortion, it makes me have evil thoughts toward that person. I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm thinking the thought, somebody could have aborted you, Nancy. Somebody could have aborted you, Hillary. Somebody could have aborted Obama. But they didn't. The truth is, I suppose for a lot of people, they can't get it, they can't grasp it, they can't fathom it, they can't see it, they can't understand it. Why? Because they have eyes to see, and Jesus said they see not, they have ears to hear, and they hear not, and their heart is waxed gross, lest they should be converted, and I should heal them. I should heal them. Thy princes, thy rulers are rebellious, companions of thieves. Everyone embraces bribery, and they follow after bribery. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. They don't care. They just don't care at the end of the day. Ezekiel 16:49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. The sin that God encountered with Lucifer was the sin of pride. He was lifted up in his heart. God said, your beauty hath corrupted you. Your wisdom has corrupted you. You're corrupt. That's what he told him. These people, you know, I'm 63 years of age, cognizant of death. I became very cognizant of death in 2000 when my mother, my daddy, and my grandmother died in just 45 days. The reality of mortality becomes a reality. Becomes more real. What's the word surreal? God said to Lucifer, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Think of that. Your beauty has corrupted you. Thy wisdom was corrupted also by reason of thy brightness. You were such an illuminary object in my kingdom. But I will cast thee to the ground. You know, God has the power to judge a nation. All of the leadership in the earth right now has gone the way of Satan. You don't realize how blessed you are for the Holy Spirit of God to deal with your heart and your mind. You have no idea how blessed you are that the Spirit of God convicts you and reproves you and rebukes you of sin. Hillary can take Bible verses and twist them, as Peter said they would, rest, W-R-E-S-T. They would rest the scriptures unto their own destruction and damnation, 2 Peter 3:15. Suffer little children to come unto me. And when I heard her say that, I cringed. And I just, in my heart, this was no vision, no revelation, but I saw her in a abortion clinic in my eyes, mind. Now, this is not a vision that I got from God. I've gotten visions from God, as I shared the one about the blood running down the physician's arms. And, of course, that came out on the Fox News Network. The hidden cameras, when they're sitting there selling body parts and negotiating deals, and God showed me while they're buttering their bread and eating their food, they're talking that stuff, and he says, I see the blood as it runs down their elbows and drops on the dining room table. But as I said, this was not a vision. It's just something that came into my own personal mind. But I saw Hillary in an abortion clinic in the procedural room. And she's saying, suffer the little children to come unto me. And she's there at the end of the surgical table to kill that child when it comes out. Suffer. Allow. Tolerate the child to come unto me. That's what the word suffer in the Greek means, allow, tolerate. Allow that innocent life to come to me, and I will murder it. That's what I saw. I saw an evil person. HRC. I saw this evil person standing before the stirrups in an abortion clinic. And she's saying, suffer, bring the little child to me, let me kill it. You see, that's the That's the hypocrisy, the sickening of people's minds. You've heard me use this analogy. It is so apropos even now, how people are breaking through spiritual membranes and they can't get back to where they need to be. They cannot get back to where they need to be. You see, when the Spirit of God leaves any person, when He leaves them, just like He left Saul, the king of Israel, something replaced that emptiness, that void, that vacuity. Something replaced that. What was it? An evil spirit. Something fills the vacuum. When the Spirit of God leaves people, He doesn't deal with them again. You say, is that possible? Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, my spirit will not always strive with man. John 6, 44, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. God's got to bring you to the saving grace and knowledge of His Son Jesus. That's what conviction does. It brings you to repentance. Conviction is a tremendous awareness of my lostness, my lost condition, my lost state. That is what conviction does. It shows you and convinces you that you're lost. You remember when they asked Donald Trump, you ever repented for your sins? Well, he said, I don't know that I need to repent. You see the ignorance? This man's come a long ways in 2 years. He's not your pristine, perfect man, but God. Woodrow Wilson deemed himself, he broke down and he wept, he deemed himself as Cyrus when he recognized Israel as a nation May the 14th, 1948. You see, God has patterns. Cyrus helped Israel return to Jerusalem in 539 B.C. to restore what Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed. God touched the heart of Woodrow Wilson to help Israel establish their statehood. And all of you Zionist haters, You have no idea who you are and where you are with God. That's another day, another hour. But you're on very tenuous, dangerous ground. And now God has brought Donald Trump in, and Donald Trump is moving the embassy, or has moved the embassy, to Jerusalem. And you, and somehow in your arrogancy and your pride, you think there is no significance in these things. You think there's no significance how that Israel is mentioned over and over and over again here and the time of the end? You think for some reason there's no significance? What's wrong with you? Why can't you see? Why can't you understand the significance of what's taking place? I'll tell you why you can't see it. You're blind. You're blind. Remember, just drop the word Israel. Just forget the word Israel. Look at the man Jacob, Isaac, and then the granddad, Abraham. Covenant. Covenant. You said, those people aren't the real Jews. There's hypocrites in the church too, and they're not real Christians. It's a reality, isn't it? It's a reality. God bless you. Have a great evening. Have a great week, what is left of it. And most of you, God willing, we'll see you tomorrow night on the Hagman Talk Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you until then.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.